shivering, but upon this glorious day, the joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To pop, 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 and ray, 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 hark ye and come ye near. Today's the day for pop and ray, so lift your voices clear.
Hello there.
Another mechanical joke.
No. We mentioned just the other day that we didn't have anything to do with those. Completely out of our hands. It's all done in the control room. And you'll have to turn off a speaker in there.
Because we hear the words 2 seconds after we say them.
And we can't stand it. Thank you.
We have to have complete concentration. Especially when we have our weekly a report from our television critic, Crawford Paisley.
Okay, come on, Crawford, get up.
Sit down here, Crawford. I notice you have your skis with you today. What's the reason for that? Is there any snow around your part of the country?
These are water skis, Bob.
Oh, well.
See, I've discovered a new way of getting into the studio from Red Bank. I drive over to Staten Island and then take the ferry. The ferry boat captain lets me water ski off the back end if I pay an extra nickel.
Well, if you've been water skiing, I guess that would explain why you're wearing a bathrobe, too.
Yes, I have my swimming trunks on underneath the robe. I guess I do look kind of strange this way. Several cops tried to pick me up, but I just told them this robe was a blue top coat with orange polka dots, and they let me go.
Well, how about your TV review? What show have you picked to talk about this week?
Bob, I had a little trouble with my set again. I'm awfully sorry to report. My picture tube blew out, and of course, 4-inch tubes are so hard to find these days that I've been without TV all week, and I thought I'd do a book review instead.
Well, there's no harm in that, I guess. You select one of the current bestsellers, Crawford?
Yes. I'm going to review a book entitled The Little Bunny Who Lost His Tail.
The Little Bunny Who Lost His Tail. That sounds very much to me like a children's book.
Well, I just found it lying around the house. I don't know who it belongs to, but believe me, Bob, for sheer thrills and spine-tingling adventure, I haven't read anything like it in a long time.
Well, the title doesn't sound too spine-tingling.
It's a story of contemporary family life. The main characters are Mama Rabbit, Papa Rabbit, and the three bunny children, Eric, Emil, and Booty. Now, I don't want to give the plot away, but I don't see any harm in telling you that Booty was the little bunny who lost his tail.
Well, look, I really have a feeling you're wasting our time here. Nobody's interested in hearing you review a children's book.
Bob, you've got to look behind the printed word and see the cleverly concealed allegory if you expect to get anything out of a classic like this. The little bunny who lost his tail naturally represents the entire human race, always seeking something beyond its grasp. Something dangerous.
Well, I don't see how you figure that. Little bunny
lost his tail.
Well, I
haven't gotten to that part yet. You see, Mama Rabbit always warned her bunny children to keep out of Farmer Jones' barnyard because Farmer Jones set traps for little rabbits. But Booty, consumed like all of us with an unquenchable thirst for new experience, went right into that barnyard.
Ooh.
He got caught by the tail in one of Farmer Jones' traps. Mm. Papa Rabbit came and rescued him in a dramatic scene, but Booty lost his tail. And forever after, that reminded him to stay out of places where he didn't belong.
And that's all there is to the story, Crawford.
That's it. And I think you'll agree with me, Bob. The saga of a father's devotion to his son really makes you have to fight back the tears.
Well, frankly, Crawford, the only thing I'm fighting back right now is an impulse to kick you right out of the studio for good. Now, I assume you'll have your set fixed by next week, that you can give us the type of TV review that you're hired for.
Well, I'll certainly try, Bob. Pakistan is the only country where they still make 4-inch television tubes. Maybe I could have them airmail one day.
All right, well, you do that, and we'll probably see you next week then, huh?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Let's fall in love. I am, do it. Think of Siamese twins, some oddities, without means, do it. People say in Boston, even beans, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Cold cake, cod clams, against their wish, do it. Even lazy jellyfish, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Though it shocks him, I know. If Shad do it, way to bring me Shad and Roe in shadow shows. English souls, do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls, do it.
Now it's time for another story of drama and suspense, a tale well designed to keep you in anxiety. And here once again to set the stage for this week's yarn is the widely known adventurer and world traveler, Commander Neville Putney. Commander, I presume that you've reached into your amazing file of stories and have brought forth another tale well designed to keep our listeners in anxiety.
Need I have, young man? Our story this week takes place aboard a crack passenger train rocketing its way across the western United States. In the coaches and private compartments, people were enjoying the scenery. It all appeared to be going well, but in the cabin of the locomotive, the engineer turned to the fireman with panic written all over his face.
George, quick. Something's gone wrong with the air brake system.
You're right, Emo. We must be doing at least 75. Cut the steam and let her close
to us. It's no good, George. But you realize where we are?
To Flagstaff Hills.
That's right, George. We're going to go rocketing down the steepest grade in the Rockies at full speed.
Can't, Emo. And hairpin curve is at the bottom. We can't take that curve at this speed. We'll jump the tracks for sure.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen, George. There's no way we can slow down. We'll be doing at least 100 by the time we hit hairpin curve.
The lives of over 200 passengers are in our hands, and we can't do a thing.
The baggage will probably be smashed, too. I'd blow an SOS on the whistle if I thought it would do any good. But there isn't time. We're less than a half mile from Flagstaff Hill now.
Yeah, Emil, it's been nice working with you.
Nice working with you too, George. I guess this is the way for a railroader to go. Highballing down a hill with his hand on the throttle. Goodbye, George. Good luck.
There. How about that for a story of drama and suspense?
Boy, that's a real thriller, Commander, but you can't just leave us in anxiety this way. Did George and Emil get out of the accident all right, or what?
Well, oddly enough, there wasn't any accident.
But they were going down Flagstaff Hill with the brakes gone.
No, that's where you're wrong. George and Emil were mistaken about that. Oh. They were thinking this was the westbound run, and actually they were going east. That meant they had to go up Flagstaff Hill rather than down. Naturally, when the train hit that steep upgrade, it stopped of its own accord. George and Emil took it on into Denver at a reduced speed and had the brakes fixed there.
Well, in other words, this wasn't a story of drama and suspense at all. It was just another one of your lead balloons.
Ruddy young bounder, I've warned you time and again about voicing your opinions on the stories I bring forth from my amazing file.
The only amazing thing about your file is that so many dull stories could be collected in one place.
You were in my regiment. You'd do time in the guardhouse for a statement like that. Now read your closing announcement.
Okay, but you sure laid an egg today.
Cheeky young blighter, read the announcement.
Be sure to join us next time when Commander Putney will again reach into his amazing file and draw forth the tale well designed to keep you in anxiety. About it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
The Bob and Ray Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.